writing.
My kids have big heads too.
Sorry for your wife.
Am I right?
What's happening? It's PDGA Radio. It's Grant Zellner. It's Jennifer Allen. It's Joe Revere. Joe Revere, two-time in a row Masters World Champion here on the eve of Masters Worlds, a PDGA major coming up in about a week. I hit record at exactly the wrong moment there, Joe. I think what you said was, and I quote, tell me if I'm wrong, I've got a big head. Now, are you talking physically or is this an ego thing?
No, I physically have a big head. If you look at the size of my head compared to Jen, I'm like twice the size. And then Jen said she's sorry for my wife because my kids have big heads too.
Because you're... Well, you, it's not that you shouldn't have an ego, a healthy one, that is. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with confidence or with being proud of one's accomplishments. I mean, let's cut to the chase. The reason why we've got you here this week is, as I mentioned in that very incredible open I just did, you are the twice in a row defending world champion. You're in the MP40 division of Masters Worlds. You've done so on some pretty incredibly different courses at Northwoods and then out in Flagstaff, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And now here we go to a third wildly different setup at Emporia, Kansas. Everybody knows the kind of golf that gets played in Emporia, Kansas. So, I mean, I guess first things first, how's the prep going? What are you doing to get ready for this wildly different challenge?
This one, I feel like the prep is more mental than it is physical. I feel like the last couple of years, I spent a lot of time getting ready. And this one, man, I'm just exhausted. This school year, this was a year. It was a good year. And any of my teacher friends that are out there, anybody watching who's a teacher knows how exhausting it can be. And there's some good years and there's some hard years. And this was it was a good year, but man, it was a lot of work. I'm so exhausted. And then selling the house and getting a new one. I have all these distractions. And then it's like, oh yeah, Masters Worlds. So my prep has just been like hanging out, relaxing, getting downtime, letting everything just slowly begin to settle. Hanging out with my buddy Hank, talking about balance. And it's true to be able to focus, like things in your life have to be in balance. So I'm just slowly adapting. You know, I've been here for a couple of days, slowly adapting to this air coming down from the mountains. It's hotter, it's wetter. And it, you know, the air is thicker, so things fly a little differently. So I'm just slowly getting used to it, getting focused.
Joe, do you think that it helps having a little bit of that distraction? I feel personally like I miss work. I miss that disc golf was my hobby and my focus on work, kept my brain in a different setting. Do you think it helps kind of having two different things going on, or do you think it'd be easier to only, you know, have disc golf as a career?
Oh no.
We froze. Joe froze. Scene change, but I think we've got the bugs worked out of the system. So Joe, what we were talking about before we had to do this little, you know, technological timeout here, we were talking about you prepping for Masters Worlds this year, coming off of two victories in a row, back-to-back majors for you at Worlds back at Northwood, and then the next year, last year that is, at Flagstaff. And we were talking about your preparing, but you very quickly were talking about other aspects of life that maybe get in the way of preparing. So I want to go back to that because I'll in the edit, I'll go back and fix things so everyone doesn't hear something twice. What's been going on in your life that you know, you're talking about right now?
School just got out last week, and that was a big, you know, I leave at 5:30 in the morning and get home at 5:30 at night. So that's a pretty big chunk of every day. And then with robotics, that's an after-school club, so that's going on. We just sold our house, bought a new one. We're going to be moving there in a couple of weeks. And it's, you know, life just makes us focus on certain things at certain times. And then bam, I forgot it's Master's Worlds. And then I show up here. And so it's not like I've had time to linger and think about these things. Like I just showed up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to prepare. So it's a whole different thing. It's been a busy year, getting a mind shift, getting the right balance and just spending a lot of downtime. I have a hard time relaxing. And that's going to be me my whole life. I know that. But I'm doing my best at that because I know to even have a chance to win a third against all the good guys that are coming, I have to be in the right place. And so that's my focus.
You've had a great year so far. You only have a couple of losses, one being against the Goose, you know, so it's not like you haven't been playing. You've been playing well, but Masters Worlds or a World Championship major week, it's a lot of golf. And like you said, mentally, you have to be there and be ready. Golf skills are needed, but the mental game is so important. And so that's where you're trying to settle in as you're getting there early to Emporia?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, first of all, good battle, Goose. Holy cow, we had a great battle. Oh, man, I gave it my all, but man, that kid's good.
Yeah, he is.
So that was awesome. But yeah, it's a, you know, I feel like you get older and you get wiser. You focus less on just throwing shots over and over and dialing them in and start to focus more on, you start to find yourself a little bit. You start to understand the world a little more and it makes it easier.
Yeah. And you had talked about balance, you know, like
being I wanted you to get to that.
So busy. And I had asked you, you know, for me, I've now noticed because I have also like you, we've had separate lives. We have families, we have kids, and we have careers. And so this last year was my very first year of stepping away from my second job and making golf my only job. And I've decided that's harder. It was good for me to have something else to think about, and golf was just my hobby. And so you're about to make that switch to focusing on golf, but you as well, you would agree that, you know, having something else really does kind of make it a little easier to play.
Yeah. I think everybody's different and I can't judge anyone for what they do, but I know I need that. I need that balance. If I only had disc golf, you know, I feel like I have three big things in my life, three priorities, and disc golf is third on that list. My family's first. And then I have a traditional, you know, 8-to-5 job as a teacher. And that actually takes priority. That's what pays my mortgage. Right. And so this is third. But I also wonder if I could have ever been as successful at disc golf if I didn't have something else. I'm curious. Yeah. I've needed that balance. Just sitting in my van waiting and twiddling my thumbs for the rain for days on end is so hard.
It is hard. And that's why I did, I mean, besides COVID hitting and Medicare and all the other reasons that I kind of did, the timing just worked out for me to give it that shot. But that was something I had wondered for years. You know, I was starting kind of right before Paige hit her big streak. And so, you know, I've always had that, you know, what ifs, and would I have been a world champion if I would have chose golf instead of healthcare? But I think we choose the reasons, like everything works out like how it was supposed to. But you've still had an incredible career, even being a teacher and disc golf is third. And a three-peat is very hard to do. Like you said, the competition in all divisions, doesn't matter, MPO, MP60,
everything is getting
deep down there. So you have a ton of competition. And like you mentioned, you went from elevation playing in the mountains, which was nice last year. That was pretty comfortable for you to go from Colorado to Flagstaff, kind of about the same. But Emporia, Kansas, that's a little bit different. Do you think a week is all you need to kind of get settled into sea level?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's not only how they fly, but it's just how it feels. Mm-hmm. Even the disc feels different. Like, so I'll slowly get used to it. Maybe my hands will adapt a little bit. Things are greasy here. Even the chicken.
Joe, I'm curious. You were talking about the chaos of the last few months for you, but you've been a disc golfer for a long time. And as you said, you've had multiple major pillars in your life for a long time. And, you know, I'm a Masters aged player. Jen is a Masters age player. Obviously, I'm not a professional, but I like to ask people like yourself, how do you balance things? Maybe setting the last couple of months aside, if they've been a little unusually chaotic, how do you balance things in terms of, you know, wanting to compete and be at your best? So wanting to devote quality time to what is more than a hobby for you. Where do you shoehorn that in a healthy and balanced way? If as you said, at least 5 days a week, you're out of the house at 5:30 a.m. I mean, how do you do it and make it work to the degree where you can be a major champion?
That's a really tough. I get this question a lot, and I still have a hard time because I don't know. I feel like I excel at teaching just as much as I do at disc golf. And you know, that's not something that I put a lot of passion into that as well. And then being a father and like a family man is the most important thing. And these other things I'm passionate about them, but only if, you know, the main thing is going well. I don't know if I know the right way to balance it. I just do everything as hard as I can. I just feel like in the last few months, this is the first time in my life where I'm like, this is a bit much, you know, this is a bit much.
I think he's just good at it, you know,
but like,
I feel the same way. I feel like we're really in the same boat. I tell people all the time, I'm way better healthcare professional than I am a disc golfer. Way better. I love that job, you know, so much more just like you. It's a very rewarding job. We have rewarding careers that you get to see and feel that return of how much passion that you put into that. And I think we get the same thing with golf because we do love the game. But I think Joe's just good at it. We're just good at our hobby. It is a hobby that we're really good at. So
I put in my time. I'm not saying that, you know, like I put in my time. I put in my time at work. I put in my time as a dad, but I put in my time getting my reps in too. Yeah. You know, it's not like I'm good at it, but I think that it comes with work. You know, I think disc golf you can only get so good naturally. I feel like there's talent, like that potential, what you could do. Then there's also the hard work. And the same is true for robotics. Like I have these kids that are so bright and so amazing, but if they don't put in the work, then the kids that do put in the work, they're going to pass the ones that have all the talent. So it really takes both talent and hard work.
Are you, in order to find that little bit of time though, to put in that work, are you playing a lot of events and counting on that to count as practice? Are you doing the opposite of that? Something that I am sort of forced to do at times, where throwing in the yard is about the best I can do sometimes for a week or a week and a half straight before I can get back out to a course. So I'm out just kind of in the yard, you know, kind of goofing off. Like, how are you, are you scheduling stuff? How are you working in those times?
So yeah, whenever I can. So I'm up, you know, on the weekends, I'm up at sunrise before my kids will get up about 7:30 or so. So that's 2 hours that I've already gone out and thrown. So like there's time. And as long as I'm physically healthy, I'm throwing. If it's super windy, nobody's out on the course, then I'm like, sweet, it's an open course. I can go get my reps in. And I don't have much time, but if I have 20 minutes, I'll stop and putt for 20 minutes. I don't get bored with it. So if I have a day where I know, okay, I've got a tournament in Pueblo in a couple of weeks, I'm going to head down there. I'll play. If my wife says I can be there as early as I want in the morning, but I need to be home by 2 p.m, then I know, okay, if I'm at sunrise, that's 6 hours straight that I can play. You know, like I put my reps in and I do organize it. Life is, everybody with kids knows that your life is scheduled out. So I do find time where I can get my reps in. It's all about getting those reps. A lot of it's just mental work. I think some people have it easier than others when it comes to the mental side of things. And so I spend a lot of time trying to be relaxed and ready.
These are totally different courses that you're going to face this year. What do you think? How does that equal into your game? Do you like the long distance versus kind of a little more wooded, mountainy golf?
You know, it's like truly ironic because that was my game for when I was a younger man, was distance. I could just bomb. And And I got that reputation as like, oh, that he just bombs, you know, but then I won in Northwoods. And that's not what you do there. You throw laser beams through the trees and then you go to Flagstaff and like it's an entirely Thorpe is through the trees and incredibly tight. And I won there. And so now we're finally in a place where I'm like, okay, this is my game. Like now I can be somewhere. So like, I feel like it has a lot. I also played around with McCabe and he just shreds this place. So it's pretty cool to see that, like in your mind, you think that it's distance. Right. Like you think Champions Landing is, I was actually talking to Paul Kranz at the 303 Open and he said the same thing. He's like, you think it's bombing, yeah. But it's really not.
It helps. It does help to have that.
It helps, but so many of these shots, I'm not throwing max distance.
And sometimes it's the distance there at that course in particular that gets you into trouble. It's the one, you know, those distance shots are the ones that leak closer to the OB lines. Yeah. There's a lot of OB. And then
you're all of a sudden out of position and everything's off.
Placement shots are huge there for sure. I don't know how that equals with, you know, the men's distances, but for the women, I know for sure we had, especially, is it hole 8, hole 9, the downhill, you know. That's a placement shot, and it's not the only one. There's several out there that placement is very important at.
Absolutely, it's so easy to just want to bite off a little more. Yeah. But that's why I'm glad I'm here a little early. Right. Make these mistakes. Like, why am I doing that? You know, that's not how I should play this. So I think it's a good mix. And Jones, man, that's like, oh gee, yeah. I haven't played there in like 10 years. I feel like, but man, I'll never forget that place. It's modified a little bit. It got rid of some of the really cool par fours and switched it up, but it's still awesome.
A few trees on hole one were cut down. I was shocked, and I know they were pretty bummed as well that the city came in and cut some trees. So hole one across the creek is wide open now, but still a super fun track to play.
Yeah.
With some unique shots.
I enjoy it. I think it's a good mix.
How do you adjust from being a player from Colorado where you're playing at altitude? You know, my experience, I'm from more like where Emporia is, you know, and here I'm used to discs landing in grass, thinking about where they might skip, that sort of thing. When I go and play in Colorado, the thinness of the air, of course, makes everything fly different. But on top of that, the ground, many of the courses I played in Colorado, at least the ground is very rocky, very craggy. You know, it's going to scrape your discs up, but you're not too worried about skips because it's probably going to just, you know, hit a rock and just stop dead. And just, you know what I mean? So how do you make that? A lot of us do what I just mentioned. We play everywhere else and we occasionally play a mountain course. You might experience a little bit of the opposite. How have you adjusted? You have a Flatlander bag and a mountain bag. And I mean, how
honestly,
do you?
Honestly, everything shifts. Yeah. And for me, throwing style shifts as well. Because in Colorado, I do an overstable yank over. You'll see like Gossage and Eagle and Joel, and a lot of people do the Colorado. The kind of way to do it is you yank over more stable stuff. Whereas you come here, everybody's a hyzer flipper. And I have to adjust. There's a reason why. It doesn't work the same way here. The air doesn't work the same way. So it's easier to control a disc on a hyzer flip. So I'm throwing actually similar plastic, but the way I'm approaching doing it is different. I'm hyzer, more of a hyzer flip, letting it turn instead of yanking it over and letting it come out. Yeah. So trying to adjust to that a little bit. It's weird. The angle is way different.
How's the wind? You up in the mountains, you get quite a bit of wind. Emporia is known to be windy. Do you think that will help that you do have at least some wind experience? Maybe not the humidity, but the wind is definitely something that we typically face in Kansas.
Yeah, it's been a windy year. I feel like everybody's been saying that. It's been a windy year. And I actually went out when it was windy. I made sure to practice when it was windy. Honestly, I'll probably do this for the rest of my life, is like wherever Worlds is going to be the next year, I start thinking about playing those kinds of courses. And so like I went to Nebraska and there was like 80 mile an hour winds, and they actually canceled the last round. But I knew at that point, I was like, you can't be windier, Kansas, bring it.
There's no way.
Actually, don't be nice. But I did, man, I was like really learned. It was so windy in Nebraska and I've played in so much wind that it can't get any windier than that. So I know what to do now, but it is tricky. The air is tricky. I was just telling Hank, we're actually at Champions right now playing. We're on hole 9. But I threw a disc into a headwind that went farther than it does with no wind.
Yeah, I love the wind. Yes. It'll just glide and glide depending on the angle, if you get the angle right. I tell people that all the time. We just played in Sedona last week and it got windy in the afternoon. And I was like, this is going to be awesome because we had elevation. You get the right crosswind or a headwind.
Yeah.
And it'll fly. If you hit the wind at the right pocket, it will lift and carry versus push you down or whatever. So it's all about hitting the pockets right. But the wind to me has always been super fun to throw in. And if you know the knowledge of the wind, you can make the disc do a lot cooler stuff.
Yeah. If you don't know it, then it can really be a struggle.
Putting's a little harder. That's a little different. Throwing, super fun in the wind.
Yeah. Putting is what I call laying up.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, I wanted to bring up putting a little bit simply because when I close my eyes and try to remember Flagstaff and then the year before at Northwood and followed the group that you were in, since you were in or near the lead group, you know, virtually each of those entire weeks, what sticks in my mind, not just from you, Joe, but really everybody that's good enough to be in that top card or two, the putting at the Masters level. I don't want to suggest that you become a better putter when you hit the age of 40, but it feels to me like it becomes like a bigger percentage of the game, being able to save those pars, to keep from going a double bogey and save it to a bogey, to hit that long birdie here and there, or even to go just on a tear and, you know, just tear it up and, you know, shoot a 1080 round or something. But the putting is the thing that I remember most. How many times I'm following along and watching, say, you and going, okay, Joe's the furthest one out, so he's probably just lost a stroke to the card. And then, no, sure enough, you go and you can yours. And the next thing you know, it's a super unlikely star frame until I realize by the end of the last day, there's no such thing as an unlikely star frame with these players because they can all can it from everywhere. Again, for you, coming down from altitude, having to adjust, how does it affect the putt?
Man, it's so different. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like the putt I notice more than the drives. At elevation, it just drops. And you have to anticipate that. And your body, your brain is so used to looking at a certain part. And, you know, it's not like we think much about it. You just do it. But it just doesn't do it because it drops and hits the cage, thinking it felt perfect. Yeah. So getting my brain to adjust to that. The putts float more here. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hitting the band a lot more where I'm expecting it to drop. You know, these Midwest putters, they putt like spin putts for a reason. Yeah. And I don't putt that way. I'm trying, but man, and then watching guys like Martin Hendel, who from 80 feet, you're just like, well, this, you know, there's a high probability that this is going to be right dead center. And there's more and more guys like that. I just feel like the older we get, the more we know that we should spend our time on the putting green, not bombing these drives.
And playing against the man who designed these courses. I mean, that's also a little bit of quite the challenge that you're going to have.
I played both courses with him now, and he just crushes these plays. He has them so dialed, you know, like they're obviously exactly where he wants everything on both courses. They're like the 380 foot straight Eric McCabe shot over and over again.
Yeah. I will say though, I feel like the pressure of Eric winning on courses he's designed and you trying to three-peat, that those should like equal out. I feel like those are equally, you know, pressure. So hopefully it'll be an even ball game out there.
Yeah, I hope so. I honestly don't have a lot of pressure. I feel like, because one of my kids in the last day of school, he's like, Mr. Rivera, hope you win Worlds again. Do you think you can do it? And I was like, I don't know. And I feel more confident about things than I ever have, but I guess I'm less eager.
Yeah.
I don't know. If it happens, great.
Right.
I'm all for it, but my goal isn't to win worlds, which is weird to say, but my goal is just to enjoy my week.
And I think that's when we play our best. You know, if we can remove all of the pressure and just enjoy golf, then our true talent comes out. It's just, that's really hard to do when you get to some of the places that we're at, that we play. Are you already looking forward to 2025 Minnesota, back to the mountains as well for U.S. Masters, I believe?
Yes, it's down in New Mexico. I'm excited for both for sure, because one of them takes place during the school year. So like this year, it's in North Carolina. I just can't take. I even qualified for USDGC, and I'm like, gosh, that's 2 weeks off school, and that's all of my sick days. Yeah. Just like done.
That's a hard one though. I feel like you should really consider that. USDGC, it's, I don't know the last time that you've been, but
it's been years.
JP and the boys, Innova does like the most incredible job. They immediately start working on how they can make it better for the next year. And man, it's really hard to top. It's a good one. So maybe.
It's just hard when, you know, if I use all my sick days and my kids get sick, I'm in trouble. But I'm actually like, I'm really thinking about it. My administration, my principals are so awesome.
Yeah, maybe borrow some PTO time. They used to do those pools where you could like donate PTO time. Maybe you could like bake some cookies or something and get some extra PTO time, because that's one I think you'd really love. To give it like one more great principal, shot.
My principal would say yes, for sure. So I actually just did qualify, and I think I might do it. I might just use all my sick days. And I mean,
everyone take their vitamin C, keep everyone as healthy as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah, wear your sunscreen.
Exactly.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You've already been in Emporia for at least a few days, I guess, and we're yet, as we sit here recording, at least we're more than a week out from day number one of competition, at least at Masters Worlds. Players of all ability levels and all ages, more and more these days, talking about managing their workload, talk about not wanting to over practice, those sorts of things. Here you are already there with a week to go. What are you doing in terms of managing the world? I mean, you're not playing three or four rounds a day, and you know. Nope. So, what are you doing in the downtime? Are you freshening up on some books or something? What's going on?
Yeah, I actually am. I like to read books, and I've cleaned my van like six times where I take everything out, and I just try to keep busy. I was on the phone for an hour with my daughter on FaceTime last night, just. We didn't even really communicate much. We were totally just screwing around. So
I was going to say, this probably feels like a vacation. Like you're working less prepping, being there for over a week. Like this is, he's bored.
Like, this honestly feels like a vacation, and I really needed it. Yeah. So I don't take for granted. I feel like I would take for granted if I had this all the time, but I don't have much time where Mr. Revere, like literally all day long. Even my planning period, I've got, you know, 30 kids in there building robots. Like, so this truly is, sometimes I just go walk around and listen to birds and stuff. It's so corny.
Maybe get a fishing like, pole out. There's some really good bass right there in Champions Landing Pond. I am going to say, so you might have to find a pole and get a few, you know, tosses out there.
There's a pool. Champions Landing has a pool, right. So and do you, my buddy Hank just got here. So,
do you only practice the courses that you're going to play, or are you one of those players that is like, oh, I haven't ever played? You know, I'm going to check this one off the list and check this one. You know, Kansas City's not too far away, hour and a half. You could drive up and hang out and play some great Kansas City courses. Is that something that you feel like you would do, or are you one of those I only play? I'm here to do a job. And my job is to master these two courses.
For me personally, I'm just playing these two courses. That's all I'm going to play. It's because I don't want to overthrow. Like I would love to go throw some of these courses, but what's it going to get me?
Yeah.
You know, like I'm all about optimization, and the best way for me to optimize my time is to use it wisely on these courses and then not not overthrow. That's my thing, is it's so easy to go and overthrow where I just start, I lose myself in it. Like I can just pop for hours and not even know the hours go by. Like I'll go play until I'm clearly overthrown and it's bad for my body and I'm still throwing. So like, I'm so proud of myself. I took a day off the other day.
No.
Yeah, it was nice out. I couldn't believe
after
it.
After an 18-hour drive. No.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I was like, man, I actually took the day off. I was so proud of myself.
It's hard to do. It really is hard to do.
Especially if you're not 100% sure on the courses and you know there's a couple holes that you're like, I really want to. It is so hard to not go play them. You know, it's so hard to not just go figure them out. But I focus on the task at hand.
Well, Joe, here we are, just a few days away from another PDGA major, one in which you have a chance to three-peat, which has not been done often at any level of this sport.
Except for FG40. So,
well, it has been done there. Yes, that's true. But not often in many other divisions of this sport over the course of its 40-some odd years in existence. So we certainly wish you the best of luck and all of that. And both of us can't wait to see you up there in Emporia. So best of health. Lots of good prep this week. Stay out of the rain and the storms that may be muscling their way through Kansas. And hopefully we'll have ourselves a great week of play here in about 8 days or so.
Sounds great. I look forward to seeing you guys in person. And then this is a beautiful, awesome place. The weather has been gorgeous for the most part. So hopefully we get lucky. So far, the forecast is saying it's looking pretty for World. So
I don't know if I trust forecasts in this part of the country 8 days in advance, but
it will be humid.
That's what I've noticed. There's so much water here that
a lot of water. Yep.
In 10 days, who knows if it's going to be in the sky or on the ground? I don't know.
That's right. Maybe both.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck. We look forward to seeing you soon. Joe Revere, defending champion in the MP40 division, Masters World champion, that is, going for the third this year. PDGA Masters Worlds coverage at PDGA.com on our social channels with some post-produced of various divisions. So make sure you follow along here or, of course, PDGALive.com for live scoring across all Masters divisions at Masters Worlds. We'll see you down the road.
Thank you.